colourful
British urban film festival
on Colourful Radio.
Hi, welcome to the British Urban Film Festival. We are live, coming to you live right in the middle of Victoria in central London.
We are so excited. Oh my gosh, we're at the Curzon Theatre on Victoria Street, and they're about to announce who's actually been nominated this year.
All the nominees.
All the nominees for 2018. So I'm Jacqueline Malcolm, your host today, and joining me is...
Desiree Jewel Adam.
Hello, Desiree.
Hi, Jackie.
We're together again.
I know, this is so cool. We were last together at Christmas.
We were last together at Christmas at the Africa Centre Christmas Market.
Yes.
Sitting on Santa's knee.
Do you know what this feels like?
What?
This feels like a Black Panther moment.
It really does.
I think they're about to start.
About to start.
Thank you. Right, let's make a start. Esteemed colleagues, patrons, special guests, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Emmanuel Anyamosigwe, the director for this year's 13th British Urban Film Festival and the 4th British Urban Film Festival Buff Awards. I am delighted to welcome you all here to Buff Media Day from the Curzon Victoria in a very crowded, cold central London, where it's just gone 10 a.m. in the capital, 5 a.m. in New York and 11 a.m. in Lagos. The reason I say those times is, believe it or not, there are people that are waking up right now to find out what on earth is going on here. So if you're watching Malaysia, morning. We'd like to welcome in those of you listening live right now on Colourful Radio. Welcome, and a big welcome to all of you watching us live on Facebook, including many hopeful filmmakers and scriptwriters who are waiting to find out if they've passed the granola test. Few of you know what that's about. The same goes for all our UK filmmakers and scriptwriters, some of who are with us here today. Welcome to you all. We welcome our Buff 2018 sponsors, including Kush Films, who in their 20th year are partnering with Buff to present a special programme of films from the Regent Street Cinema to mark the 70th anniversary of Windrush. Now, hopefully Marlon Palmer, the CEO and founder, will be joining us later to a few words about the partnership. But for the moment, can we please show our appreciation for Kush Films reaching its 20th year in the film business with a warm round of applause. We welcome three new award sponsors, including the Mandy Network, who will be sponsoring this year's Female Emerging Talent category. I'm delighted to say that Abigail is here with us from Mandy.com. Warm welcome to you. We welcome Film London, who will be sponsoring this year's Live Script Award category. And I'm delighted to say that Jordan McGarry from Film London is here with us today as well. A warm welcome to you, Jordan. And last, but by no means least, we welcome the Triforce Creative Network, who this year will clock up 15 years in operation under the stewardship of Fraser and Mini Ayres. This year, Triforce will be sponsoring this year's short film category at the Buff Awards. And I'm delighted to say that Jordan Pitt, who's representing Triforce, Fraser and Minnie's behalf, is here with us today. Jordan, welcome. Okay, so it's time to get down to business. Very shortly, I'll be announcing the 28 nominees and 4 recipients for this year's Buff Awards, which takes place at the Mile End Genesis Cinema on Monday the 4th of June. But first, here are the 40 official selections for Buff 2018 to be screened from the 5th to the 9th of June. Still Breathing, directed by Emil Nava and executive produced by Tiny Temper. Okay. No Shade, directed by Claire Anyamosigwe.
Right now we are.
And executive produced by me. Under the Influence, directed by Kazra Fuzia and produced by Rodney P, who's with us this morning. Fantastic. The Legacy of Slum Village, directed by Mo Lynch. The Fox and the Rabbit, directed by Gary Crystal. Clam, directed by Nathaniel Martello White. To the Power of Ten, directed by Richard Catter. Dark Days, directed by Daryl Grizzle. Spite, directed by Tanisha White. Family Reunion, directed by David Kitchen. Support, directed by Christina Eberhong Green. Spilt, directed by Aki Omoshabi. Natalie, directed by Mikey Murray. Nowhere Yet, directed by Gabrielle Bagnashi. Jono's Dead, directed by Chris Shepherd. I Was Three, directed by Alfie Barker. All of Me, directed by Daphne Schmon. For Real Though, directed by Baptiste Penity Cobra. Afropunk Girl, directed by Annetta Laufer. Mamatar, directed by Destiny Ekaraga and produced by Louise Ann Monroe. Wireless, directed by Tayo Odisinya. Testing Greta, directed by Abby Lucas. Girl Fat, A Teenage Guide to Surviving Sex Slavery, directed by Mel G. Lagadec. Bitter Sea, directed by Fatim Ahmadi. Undone, directed by Francesca Castelbuono. Fee, directed by Gwen Maroney, produced by Josh Cockcroft. Bodega, directed by Donna Augustine and Taliba Latifa Newman. Young, Gifted and Grinding, directed by Indrika Anyika. Colorblind, directed by Tracy Kango. The Counter 1960, directed by Tracy Twinkie Bird. Black for a Cause, directed by Stephen Thompson. The Riot Act, directed by Oliver Riley Smith, produced by Kyron Spears. The Battle of Lewisham, directed by Nachiel Catnott. Rolling in the Deep, directed by Marcellus Cox. Kings, directed by Jamal Scott. Never Heard, directed by Joshua Weber. Indigo, directed by Fumileo Coswell. Beyond the River, directed by Craig Raymond. And finally, Two Graves, directed by Young, produced by Chantel Rochester Henry. And those are this year's selections. Now, I can see that very distinctive hat to my left. That can only mean one thing, as far as I'm concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduced him earlier. I'm now going to bring him up to the stage. Would you please welcome the founder and CEO of Kush Films, who will give this morning's keynote speech. Please welcome Mr. Marlon Palmer.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you. I don't know about keynote speech. Did you say keynote speech? I've just come to basically just ramble on a little bit, basically, and then you can chop me off. I'd like to congratulate Emmanuel. Please give him a round of applause for me as well. Emmanuel, as he mentioned, Kush Films is celebrating 20 years this year. I'm one of the first guys that basically created a platform for black filmmakers here in the UK who fought to get into venues like this. So don't take this as for granted to be here now in a venue like the Curzon Cinema, because this is something that we had to fight hard to kind of get over many years. I couldn't get into many cinemas. Many cinemas wouldn't let us into do things like this. Now we had the privilege to do things like this. So thank you to the Curzon Cinema as well. So, you know, I've been fighting for the last 20 years to create a platform, a marketing and exhibition platform for black filmmakers here in the UK. And it's been a struggle. We've had, you know, triumphs, successes, and many, you know, pain and worries and tribulations within this industry. And it's good to see younger people, I should say, like Emmanuel, coming up, who was a young man when I first met him.
I am very young.
I just look young, you know? You know, working at the BFM, and it was, you know, this is where he learned his trade, and he saw people like myself and Menelik Shabazz and others, you know, struggling to create a platform for, you know, black filmmakers here in the UK. Now it's not so much black anymore, it's now urban, and it's a whole diverse cast of people reflecting the culture that we see every day out there in the world. This year is the first year that we're finally gonna sort of collaborate and do something together. I've been watching Buff grow, and it's got better and better. And I give him some big up for that, and you know, respect for that. And basically, we're gonna be doing on the 9th of June down at the Regent Street Cinema where we're based, and where we do screenings on a monthly basis. We're gonna be doing a special tribute event to commemorate Windrush, basically. And Windrush was basically the first migrants who came to the UK from the Caribbean on the good ship Windrush, basically. And basically, we can do a program of films that basically will be commemorating the Caribbeans who came to present day migration. As we know, migration is still a big factor, and it's still happening in a big way. So this is on June the 9th down at the Regent Street Cinema. So hopefully we see some of you people down there, and you can also spread the word about, you know, Kush and Buff collaborating together to, you know, basically commemorate our presence, you know, here in the UK, and how we've basically, you know, how migration itself has actually transformed the whole world, basically. So without any further ado, I'm not going to go on anymore. Thank you very much for giving us the time. Once again, you know, I'd like to congratulate Buff, Emmanuel, Claire, and the rest of the team for what the work that they're doing, and I hope to see it going from strength to strength. And hopefully one day when I retire, hopefully maybe soon, I see this guy, you know, leading the way, and we all feel proud of what he's doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlon. Right, now, no Buff event is complete without hashtags. So mobile phones out. Hashtag is Buff2018. Buffness awaits, and a whole new level. Right, you'll never forget those. Right, so before we go any further, let's have a look at just some of the films that you'll be watching in 88 days' time. Count them, 88 days' time, till Buff 2018. Enjoy. And tickets will be going on sale right after this press conference. The website is www.britishurbanfilmfestival.co.uk. Can you still hear me there? You can? Excellent. All right. Someone nodding their head. There is one of our Buff patrons, Mohammed George. Good morning. Some of our other Buff patrons are here. Our special advisor, Richard Adishayan. Good morning, Richard. Sue Caro, diversity campaigner and Buff patron, good morning. Also here with us are my fellow critics on Colourful Radio. I speak, of course, of Paul Atherton and Paulette Harris-German. Good morning. And you can listen to our show every Friday on Colourful Radio, 7 o'clock. Just thought I'll throw that plug in. So, without further ado, we now move on to the Buff Awards nominees. So I'm about to announce 28 nominees in 9 categories, plus 4 recipients, including our honorary recipient. So, eyes down, here we go. The first category is Emerging Best Short Film, sponsored by Triforce Creative Network. The nominees are 5x5, directed by Kate Herron. Leroy, directed by Marley Morrison. We Love Moses, directed by Dion Edwards. And Hum, directed by Stefano Nura. The next category is the Blessing Anyam Osigwe Awards for Best Actress. And the nominees are Edwina Findlay for Free Indeed, Jocelyn Dumas for Potato Potato, Billy Piper for City of Tiny Lights, and Loretta Devine for Chapter and Verse. The next category is Best Actor. Nominees are Daniel Beattie for Chapter and Verse, O.C. Ukeji for Potato Potato, Riz Ahmed for City of Tiny Lights, and David Harewood for Free Indeed. The next category is Best Feature Film, and the nominees are Potato Potato, directed by Shirley F. Manso, City of Tiny Lights, directed by Pete Travis, Chapter and Verse, directed by Jamal Joseph, and Free Indeed, directed by Jake Mahaffey. The next category is the Live Script Winners. And the three winners who will be receiving an award on June the 4th, as well as a live script reading sponsored by Film London. The first winner is Road Girl by Amy Colwick. The second winner is Sunita Monero for Bosch. And the third script winner is Chasing Jeremy by Mary McCallum. New for this year's Buff Award is Best Music Video, which will be a public vote online. And the winning video will be shown at the Buff Awards on June the 4th. The nominees are The Meltdown, See the Light, directed by Hannah Seidel. Younger, directed by Bailey Tom Bailey. My Turtle Dove, directed by Jay Stephen and Ralph Briscoe. And Andina, directed by Rob Baker Ashton. The next category is Female Emerging Talent, sponsored by the Manly Network. Oh, it's Male Emerging, beg your pardon. That's coming next. So the nominees for Male Emerging Talent are Francesco Gabriel for Blue Hollywood, Liren Nathan for Parallel Universes, Nathan Bryan for Leroy, and Rob Walters for Remembrance Day. Right, Female Emerging Talent now. Sponsored by Mandy. The nominees are Helen Watkinson for Blue Hollywood, Jade Marie Joseph for Morning Glory, Tanisha White for Broken, and Kat Van Dort for Amber. And finally, this year's Buff Honorary Award recipient is director Amma Asante. And here's just some of the reasons why.
Okay, so right now we're going to be looking at the reasons why Amma Asante has just been awarded the special honorary award here at the Buff Film Festival, going to happen in June. We're taking a look at some of her work right now.
Yes, United Kingdom is what's playing at the moment. And Belle.
This is excellent. I did not realize she was the director of Belle.
I knew she was.
Oh, you did. That is fantastic. I love that movie. She did a fantastic, fantastic job. It's wonderful to see a black woman being honoured.
It is. I love
it. High esteem.
Amma Asante, the honorary recipient of the Buff Award 2018. And that, as they say, is that. You've heard all the nominees, you've heard all the films, all the details you'll be finding online throughout the day at britishurbanfilmfestival.co.uk. Hashtag is Buff2018. I'll just take this opportunity to thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you to all our sponsors who have attended, all our patrons, filmmakers, scriptwriters, VIPs, special guests. Like I said, Buff2018 starts in 88 days' time. For now, it's time to have some breakfast. My name is Emmanuel Anyimusigwe. Thank you very much indeed. Bye.
Wow, Desiree, this is so exciting, isn't it? It's
fantastic.
A very exciting lineup.
Fantastic. We've got a lot of names to go through the nominations.
We certainly have. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go around. We're going to grab some of our people and we're just going to have a lovely chat with some of the key people right here, right now.
Right here,
I'm going to start right now with one of our patrons. Hello, we are live here on Colourful Radio. How are you today?
Wonderful.
Okay, so tell us, you are a patron?
Yes, I am.
Remind us of your name, so I didn't...
My name is Mo George. A lot of people recognise me for playing Gus in EastEnders.
Exactly.
I'm an actor. I've been acting since I was 11 years old, so
fantastic.
I've been a patron now with these guys for the last 6 months, so it's a real honour. And
oh, so you're very new.
Yeah,
new
I'm a new patron.
Yeah. You're a new patron.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm part of the team. So Emmanuel, I've known for many years, and I've been following his journey and supporting him all the way. And he actually showcased one of our films a couple of years ago called Murder Capital. And I was
fantastic.
Nominated for Best Actor for that. And then he showed our film Remembrance Day, which is great because Rob Waters has just been nominated for Emerging Talent. So I'll be telling him. The exclusive. Yes, I'm very proud of Rob because he was so good in the film as well. So it's nice that Emmanuel has honoured him for Remembrance Day. So that's
I think
great.
That is awesome, right? Yeah. So why did you come on as a patron? Why is the British Urban Film Festival so important to you?
I think it's very important that we support each other. You know when you see people doing good things and they want you to be a part of it, how could you say no? You know, when you see, you know what I mean, when you see a brother doing well, you know, pushing the film, pushing people's, you know, stories out there, pushing people's careers, pushing, you know, recognizing people, and it's just an honor to be part of it. I remember last year when they honored them, Ashley Waters is a good friend of mine. I've known him since I was 11 years old. We both started together.
Wow,
and I was saying to Emmanuel, you know what? Ashley's a guy who's been in the business for so long and nobody's really, you know, acknowledged him like that. You know, so I'm so grateful and so happy that it was you guys who did it first.
Right.
Before everybody else starts.
There you go.
Because you know how it is.
Yes.
You start
exactly.
And then everybody else starts going, oh yeah.
I know,
Ashley
right?
Waters, he's great.
Oh. Now,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
So what are your thoughts, I mean, in the wake of the phenomenal response to Black Panther, what are your thoughts about where the future of black artists within the film industry is going?
I hope this momentum continues, but sometimes, you know, like, there's always been that time when it's like a black film comes out and everybody gets excited.
Yeah.
And we're like, yes, finally, but we don't continue the momentum.
Exactly.
People don't
exactly.
continue, you know, funding it. So I hope now, I think this will be very significant because of the numbers that it's done. I mean,
right.
The fact that it's breaking records, because that was the problem before, you know, producers were like, black films don't make no money. So you had someone like Taylor Hackford, you know, campaigning for 15 years to make Ray, and then finally he got the money to do it. And then it wins an Oscar, and then you hope from then we're going to see more. But then it goes, we disappear again. And then you got Chadwick Boseman, who obviously played Jackie Robinson, and that was hard for them to make that film as well. Can you hear me, guys? Can you hear me? Okay. Sorry guys, yeah, I've got the ladies just passing around mics here. You can't see what's going on, but they're doing a great job. But yeah, then you had them, you know, Chadwick making Jackie Robinson, and you thought, when are we going to get the biopics? You thought after Ray, you're going to get the Marvin Gaye's, the Mike Tyson stories.
Right.
But that never happened. But I hope now that this has happened, that they realise money can be made from black films.
There you
People
go.
People want to see it. You know,
yes, we want to see
black culture has always been something that's been
roles.
Cool.
That's
it's always
right.
been cool. You know what I mean? It's always
exactly.
been in. It never goes
exactly.
out. So it's just about them realizing that, okay,
open
we understand.
Eyes.
Open their eyes
that's
and realize
right.
that we can tell. And the great thing about Black Panther I liked is we're telling superhero stories for children to realize that superheroes are not white. Because you must remember, these are made up stories.
Right, exactly.
They don't have to be a color. A superhero doesn't have to be, you know, white. So I think it's very important for the next generation of children to see
yes.
a superhero is black, and that should be normal.
Exactly.
Because a superhero is a superhero. He's not defined by his color.
Thank you. Well, on that note, we have to yes. say thank you. We'll let you have some breakfast right now.
Yes, please.
And I know there's a queue of people wanting to say hello
yes,
to you. So thank you so much
thank
for being
so much,
with us
ladies.
Today.
Keep up the great work and keep tuned to Colourful Radio.
Thank you.
Wow, the atmosphere is amazing.
You take the
Ready?
Yeah, so you know, just yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so here we are. We're still live on Colourful Radio, and I'm standing right now with Jordan Pitt. And he is from Triforce, one of the sponsors of the Buffer Worlds.
Yeah, that's correct. Happy to be here. Happy to be sponsoring the short film category.
Yeah. So now, what is it? Why did you decide that you wanted to get behind the, you know, the Triforce? Why did they decide they wanted to get behind the British Urban Film Festival?
Yeah, basically, we run our own short film festival as well. Buffer, one of our sponsors, and we're just always trying to champion new work, new talent, and that's kind of what we stand for, really.
And what are you looking for? When you look for a good short film, what are the three key things, or five, or one? You know, what is it that you're really looking for that makes something jump out at you?
Do you know what? It's a range of things. It's, you know, something that keeps you engaged. The writing, first and foremost. The production values, the performances, everything on the whole, really. There's no one ingredient. It's everything on the whole, yeah.
And how important do you think it is for someone who wants to be a filmmaker to start the process of just making films, even if it's a short movie? Because I'm meeting more and more people who never want to write features. They just want to write short movies.
Yeah, that's one of my mottos, just get up and do. Myself, as an independent filmmaker as well, you know, there was no formal training. Just I started off just by getting up and doing, and, you know, that was with the help of working with Triforce at the time. So, you know, get up and do.
Get up and do. So you've heard it here from Jordan, right here from Triforce at the British Urban Film Festival nominee announcements. Thank you, Jordan. Wonderful, and we've also got Vadim. Where's Des? Oh, she's gone. Okay, so can I? Yeah, I know. Do you mind? Will you stay here? Then can I? Don't go anywhere. I'll do Vadim because she came first, and then I'll do you. Is that okay? Thank you. Don't go anywhere. Hello, Kadeem, I'm Jackie. I'm really good. So right now, still here on Colourful Radio, I'm talking right now to Kadeem, who I believe you are one of the new patrons.
I am one of the actors in No Shade, starring. I'm one of the actors starring in No Shade. So I'm one of the co-stars leading in No Shade. So me, Kadeem Pierce, and Adele Oni. We're the two lead actors in the new film, No Shade. But
oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic. Congratulations. Yes, now I look at you, you look very Oscar-esque, actor-esque.
Thank you very much. I try. It's been a nice experience, very good experience, humbling experience, and the process that I've gone through with Claire and Emmanuel, they've really helped a lot, and I'm really excited to see the film at the premiere.
No, I can't wait to see it. So talk to me. How long have you been in acting?
I've been performing my whole life. I graduated from the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama in 2013. So I'd say professionally acting since 2013. But prior to that, I went to the Barbara Speake Stage School, where I did tap dancing, jazz, ballet. So I've always been in the performing arts. And always been in the arts, and I'm just taking it to the next level with, you know, the film that's about to come out, and yeah, progressing in my career.
Wow, yeah, you must be so excited. So, with In the Light of Black Panther, I keep talking about it because it's just been such a phenomenal global response. I mean, it's going to be hitting its first billion before it even hits China. And normally films have to hit China before they get into the billion. And so the phenomenal response it has been. As a young black man, living right now as an actor, coming in as lead roles, how are you feeling? How are you? Has it made you more hopeful for where your career could go?
Yes, I think Black Panther is definitely empowering. Just even seeing everything that's been going on social media with everybody that's I've been a person that's always been in touch with my roots and always looked at my heritage and given thanks for the ones that came before me, my ancestors, and the actors that have paved the way for me to come along and fulfill my career, my dreams. So just seeing everything is very liberating. And for the British Urban Film Festival as well, it's giving people hope. And I found that a lot of my friends that aren't even actors, they say, oh, I want to kind of act now. And it's, everything's kind of going ahead. So it's really promising. And it's really looking very well for the future.
Well, I think that is absolutely fantastic. So right now we're going to go over to Desiree. She's going to be talking to another sponsor over there. But
hi, can I just thank you so much for speaking to us today. Marlon Palmer, the founder of Kush Films. Marlon, Colourful Radio is waiting for you at the moment. This is Baz here at the British Urban Film Festival, and we're so excited because the nominees have just been announced. There were 40 films in total, and now we're going to be celebrating with the nominees. We've got 88 days to go before the actual awards are given. And right now, I am standing with Mr. Marlon Palmer, who is the founder and CEO of Kush Films. They are celebrating 20 years of being in the business. Absolutely wonderful to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you as well.
Congratulations on your 20th anniversary.
Thank you very much. Well, officially, it's going to be in September this year.
Still the same. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's the 20th year that we've been going and been fighting and, struggling and being successful in, creating a platform for black filmmakers here in the UK.
Why has it been so important?
It's very, very important because this is how we tell our stories, and this narrative is still kind of going on today in terms of, this is why everyone's so excited about Black Panther, because it's telling our story, and it's black filmmakers, black writers, even though we know the original concept was by Stan Lee and those guys from Marvel, but they've reinvented it and brought it up to date, and it's us, reflecting our culture and our history, our very being here on this planet, and we need to tell our own stories and stop letting other people tell our stories.
No doubt there's been loads and loads of challenges all throughout the 20 years. What kept you going?
Stubbornness. Absolute stubbornness, and just don't be told what to do.
What's your advice to young and upcoming filmmakers and ones who want to get in the business? Because it's hard. It's not easy. What would your advice be to them?
Well, one of the key things I found is, you need to get your mind right. Your mind needs to be right. You can have all the skills in the world. You can have the ambition that you want to do this and do that. But this industry is not an easy industry. And you're going to find many closed doors, many hurdles, many obstacles in your way. And the race is not for the swift, but it's for those who can endure it. And basically, it's getting your mind right. This industry drove me to almost madness. And, 13 or so years ago, I took up personal development. And that was about understanding myself, who I was as a character, understanding my strengths, understanding my weaknesses. And once I kind of understood that and I found my true self, then I was unstoppable. Nothing could stop me. Because there's always going to be people who are going to try and stop you and tell you that you can't do what you want to do.
Wise words from a founding father. Thank you so much, Marlon Palmer, and congratulations on your 20 years. You're right. Thank you.
Okay, so here we are, and I'm standing right now. We're here at the British Urban Film Festival. They've just announced all the awards, as you know, and I'm standing right now with Chantel. She is the producer, one of the producers of Two Graves, the feature film. Hello, Chantel.
Hi, how you doing?
Really good. So how excited are you about this festival coming up?
Fantastic. I'd also like to say happy International Women's Day to all the women out there and to yourself also.
Thank you very much. And I have to say, you are looking absolutely fantastic. I do wish this was on film right now. You look absolutely stunning.
Thank you very much. We're very happy about Two Graves being a closing night film. It's been a journey and it's been a very good one. Director Gary Young has done a fantastic job. All the cast, there's so many to mention, but Katie Jarvis, Daniel Harold, Kedar Willing-Sterling, Josh Herdman, Dave Johns, David Heyman, and I also did a small part in there. So, yeah, quite excited for people to see, his work, Gary's work, and, yeah.
Well, I mean, how are you feeling? You mentioned the fact that this is International Women's Day. How are you feeling? You're a black woman, you are British, and you have just produced your movie. How are you feeling that this opportunity is open to you?
I am feeling very excited about it all happening today on International Women's Day. Also, it's been a journey and a hard journey, and it's nice that it's come about on a day where women are getting together, and I think it needs to be done more in this industry. I think we need to get behind each other, not just as a black female, but as a female as well, and push each other, support each other, do each other's films, and collaborate on stuff to get our stuff out there and the women we want to see in front of the camera and behind the camera. And that's what we do here at Ida Rose, our production company.
I absolutely love that, and I love what you taught. You said that one golden word to me, collaboration. How important is collaboration to you in your work?
It's hugely important. If we keep giving the gatekeepers, and you know, this is not a dogging men situation, because there's a lot of men who are behind the movement as well, and they support it being equal, is what we're trying to do. And if we keep collaborating and getting one film to the other and supporting each other, we can make more films that show us in the lights that we want to do. And that's what we're trying to do, collaborate with much more females at Ida Rose Production Company, support females and create females and concentrate on female directors, actors, producers in the industry. So yeah, we're doing as best we can. And we want as many people to come and collaborate and do it in their own connections as well.
I absolutely love that. Chantal, thank you so much for that word on collaboration, especially amongst women, and not just black women, but all women. Collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. So we've just been talking to Chantal here at the British Urban Film Festival, the nominee awards, and she is one of the producers. Right now, we're going to have some music, but don't go anywhere.
Colourful Urban Film Festival on Colourful Radio.
Yeah, we're live on Colourful Radio right here at the British Urban Film Festival, and I have the pleasure, or I've had the pleasure, to speak for the last few minutes to the lovely Adele Omi. You're in the film No Shade. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Tell me a little bit about the film.
It's an amazing concept about colorism and shadism in the black community. And to be fair, for me, I think it highlights something that we never talk about, which is incredible, because it's rife everywhere. I mean, I remember growing up in Nigeria, because I was there till I was 12, and remembering, just knowing that fairer skinned girls were prettier. Irrelevant of, you know, I think every black woman's beautiful, every black woman's a queen, but it was so dividing in our own community. And I think what Claire has written is so rich, because the truth is, it comes from a place of competition. It comes from a place where we say, oh, the fairer female is the better, therefore the man wants her. And A, why do we need to be wanted by a man in the first place? So I think what's beautiful about this film is that my character Jade goes on this huge journey of understanding that actually self-love is so much more important, and the color of your skin, you can be green and be beautiful, and you know, Elphaba and Wicked has shown that, I think. But I that's what the film is to me. To me, the film was a coming home of truth. And I remember reading the script and just having, and being so moved by it. And some of the scenes that Claire directed me in, where it brought me to tears. So for example, in the trailer, there's a scene where I have some white makeup on. And I remember I was just talking to Nina Lee of Nina Lee Management about this, that when I did that scene, she didn't actually tell me what to do. She just said, go into the bathroom, put on this white makeup, look at yourself. And there I am with this white makeup, with this blonde wig. And it just brought tears to my eyes, because I was so moved, because it made me think, because I went to boarding school in England, and therefore the concept of white was so important, and being white was the epitome of beauty there. And I just thought to myself, what would it have been like if I'd grown up a white blonde girl in the school I'd grown up in? My life would have been totally different, you know? But I'm very appreciative of what I've lived, but also of what this film is and the milestone it is, because I think it is truly, with the movement of Black Panther, with things like The Woman King coming out, Americana, it's part of a great movement, and I feel so blessed to be part of such history. So, yeah.
I'm so happy that you mentioned about women and feeling beautiful and being true to yourself, because it is International Women's Day today. And so what do you think, what are your words to the women out there who may want to get into film, who feel like they're not worthy enough or they don't have enough self-confidence? Because it's easier said than done. What's your advice to these women?
Well, to be fair, actually, my advice would be something my acting coach, Chris Obi, who's also himself an actor, said to me once, because I was just after the film, I started filming this TV thing, and he called me, and what he said was, remember that what you are is so much more interesting than anything you could ever make up, you know, and I think that's something that's very important to remember, that we are all rich with story, and we are all rich with presence and truth, because God made us. We are validated by the fact that we exist. So just remember that and take the bull by the horns as such, and just say, you know what, anything is possible. Any mountain I say move can move. So that's what I would say. Because I know what it's like to question myself over and over. I understand that concept of self-validation. I'm an actress. you have your moments. Oh, sweet Lord. But you've got to remember that what God has laid on your heart is there for a reason. And we are all beautiful, and we are not each other's competition, you know, and that's really important, because if we support each other, you have no idea how many blessings come. So, like, for example, also in the film is an actress called Tanisha White and another actress called Veronica Trickett. And I find these two women absolutely extraordinary, you know, because I've never met such supportive women, and I've never been so blessed with such a network where we are happy to win with each other. You know, so each person's win is all our wins. And I think, oh gosh, as in, because I remember hearing stories when I first came to the industry of, oh my God, this girl's gonna stab your back. I'm like, huh? I'm scared. I've never met those women. I've only met incredible women, Kyla Fryo, Nilu Day as well, Claire Anyam Osige. You know, just supportive queens. So honestly, I just say, don't be afraid of being as rich and true and majestic as you are, because you have no idea how the world sees you, and we will never see ourselves the way others see us. And that's, in a way, the blessing, and in a way, the curse of our life. But it's a beautiful thing to me.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. That was Adele Onye. Congratulations on No Shade.
Thank you so much.
Go back. We're going to be going back to the team at Colourful Radio.
And you know what? Here we are. And I'm so, 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 so happy and excited to be speaking to one of the patrons of the British Urban Film Festival, Richard Adesheyan. How are you today, Richard?
I'm good, thanks.
So we were just having a very quick chat while we were waiting to come on air, and you were telling me a little bit about some of the things you've done in the past. How about you tell some of our listeners right now?
Well, in relation to, I suppose, film and television, I was very much involved in Windrush, so it was quite interesting to hear Emmanuel and Marlon talking about celebrating 70 years of Windrush, because obviously I was involved in the four-part documentary series for BBC Two over 20-odd years ago. So it's always quite nice to see that these things are still kind of relevant.
Yes, that must be so, so exciting for you. Now, you came on board as one of the patrons. How important is the black urban scene to you within the film industry?
I think it's hugely important, because I think we have to kind of shape our kind of future, and I think it's all about kind of, I suppose, the future in terms of young, you know, black filmmakers, giving them the opportunity to kind of ply their trade. And I think we always need a buff type scenario where they can actually kind of expose their talents to a kind of wider audience.
Right. And one of the things that are coming out as a big discussion at the moment within the theatre, film, music kind of industry is about different cultures telling their own story and giving the platform to tell their own story. Are you finding, because as you said, you were part of the original Windrush back in the 90s, that four-part documentary, have you seen it changing where we are getting to tell our own stories rather than someone telling the story on our behalf?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really refreshing. I mean, we've seen, you know, if you look at the huge success of, say, Black Panther, you can see that it's setting a tone for people to kind of basically just shape their own agendas. And I think what's happened is that, you know, we were always, black people were always relevant. What's happened over the years, there's been a kind of mainstreaming of black talent, and actually people now are kind of converging in terms of, you know, we've got something to say, and it actually kind of speaks to different communities.
Right. Absolutely. And that story is so wide, and it's not just so internalized anymore, is it? It's like, for a long time, we kind of just spoke about it amongst ourselves, but now we're actually saying, actually, no, we want to put it on a much bigger platform. So how much are you committed to seeing this happen within the film industry, you personally?
Well, I'm very committed, hence why I'm involved with Buff on the Patreon of Buff, because actually this is kind of where it starts. To be honest with you, I mean, it's a great stepping stone. There's a lot of talent out there, and like I said previously, people didn't have the opportunity. Now you can see, you know, that there's some really great films out there, some great actors, producers, directors, etc. So I think, you know, essentially this is the future. You know, for to see a Black Panther, you know, a director, you know, you need to start somewhere. Some of these guys are going to be the, you know, the directors and producers of the future for some of the big, you know, box office hits.
I love it. I love it. You know what? I was going to say to you, last question, where do you see the future going? And then that's exactly what you just thought about. So I'm going to say thank you so much for that chat with us, Richard, one of the patrons of the British Urban Film Festival that is going to be happening in June. And right now, we're going to go over to Desiree for the next interview.
Right here at the British Urban Film Festival, and I'm talking to the critics. Meet the critics. These are my colleagues from Colourful Radio. You cannot have a film festival without critics. So do you want to just give me a rundown of what it is you're looking for when you're watching a film?
I always have to watch a film a couple of times. So first I watch it for enjoyment, and then I watch it with a technical eye. So I'll look at what the initial impact is. But as a producer myself and an actor, I'm looking at direction, I'm looking at lighting, I'm listening to sound, I'm listening to what the score is like, angles, obviously acting. Just really interesting, like I like an interesting shot, for instance. So is the camera high? What kind of camera they're using? Is it, you know, are they panning? Are they in a cherry? What are they doing?
God. And what's your take on it?
Not that dissimilar, in truth. as Paulette says, you know, actually for me, I think probably more about the narrative, more about the story. Does the film grip you? Does it tell you something? Does it change the way you see things? And I think that's the most important thing for me in terms of a film, is like, there are roller coaster movies. So you go and see that just for the sheer entertainment of the ride, right? And you can come out and you go, oh, okay, that was great, enjoy that. But then there are films. And you, when you go into a film, you should be going in pretty much with your eyes wide open and expecting anything. And when you come out, it should have affected you some way. You know, change your ideas about something, challenging your thoughts on something else, enlighten you to something you didn't know. And I think that's what great filmmaking is really all about.
I like that. It's scaring me. I'm not sure I'm going to be a filmmaker anytime soon. Okay, so I'm going to ask something very, like, it's the buzzword at the moment, Black Panther.
Oh. Ooh.
She's doing the pose. Come on.
It was everything I could do to resist putting my dots on this morning, believe you me. But yes, I'm there. What an amazing and incredible film. There's interesting takes on it. I want to go with the first take, but there was that question around the relationship between T'Challa and the Michael B. Jordan character. I can't remember his name right now. Why did that conflict have to be there? We're just not so happy about that. Like, oh, why can't we have both of them? But I understand that we have that dynamic. But what a fantastic film. Ryan Coogler. Woo, woo. Letitia Wright, my girl.
I like it.
Awesome. And just, oh, gosh, I wish I could remember her name. But the woman who's... they're called looklikeme.com or something like that, lookslikeme.com. They did the montage of all the children dressed as the characters. Have you seen that? Incredible.
Amazing. Your thoughts?
Well, it was really interesting for me because when we were reviewing it, I was actually going to come on and say, look, you know, everybody's overhyping this film. This is getting beyond all recognition. This is silly. But we were doing Denzel Washington episode. And I was chatting and I was talking about all the films that I grew up with as a child. So one of the big important ones from Denzel was Cry Freedom, where he plays Steve Biko. So I suddenly go, wait, what's the big deal? We've had these incredible superheroes. We've had people like Muhammad Ali. And then everybody in the room went, oh, Cry Freedom came out before I was born.
We forget.
And at that point, I was like, oh, wow, when was the last kind of big black film. And then you kind of go, oh, okay, now I get it. And the real key for me was seeing a bunch of children dressed up, holding their spears, really proud, big smiles, some of them, most of them look very serious, but the 8-year-old kind of went, ah. And, you know, and it was like, ah, right, now they've got something that makes them feel proud. And I think what I loved about Black Panther was the way they empowered the women. From the very opening sequence, you're like, oh, here's Black Panther, but if his girlfriend isn't looking after him, he's going to be in big trouble. You know, you're 30 seconds in.
Do you know what? I'm absolutely glad that you said something about women, because it is International Women's Day. It is. And it's such a good thing that it's coming from a man. He's tearing on the women. So in that respect, speaking about where we are right now, British Urban Film Festival, what does the hype behind Black Panther, what does that do for us here in the UK for urban artists?
I didn't quite catch the question.
So what does Black Panther and the hype and the support around it, what does that do for the film festival here, especially for urban people trying to get in, doing their best, people like Marlon Palmer who's been doing it for 20 years, what does that do? Because we don't want to lose the momentum.
Well, it's obviously, it's training a focus now on urban. It's like, what's his name, Rodney P's film? Under the Influence, I think it was. Brilliant. Because that's what it is. It's about, we've been here for a long time and everybody's been emulating us for a long time, and now we are claiming our stuff for ourselves and demonstrating. So Black Panther just has raised an awareness on a global level that we've been here, we've been doing this grind for a long time, and we're taking our stuff to the front and actually going to pocket the money ourselves.
What's your view?
I think Ryan's changed how people are going to be perceived in filmmaking literally overnight. You know, he's so young. It's unbelievable how, you know, I mean, he is the new Hitchcock. You know, I mean, he's come in and he's, when he did the Rocky film, which I can't remember the title of now. Creed. You know, you just watch an ago, and oh, clearly that was done by somebody in their 40s, and it's like, no, he's 27. And you're like, oh, great. But no, I think the most important thing that the film's done is shaken up the entire global industry. Because suddenly now everybody's going, oh, well, the Black Pound doesn't really stretch that far, and we're not, and this is now breaking every single record that there is. It's going to take over Star Wars by the end of this weekend. It's the longest running. It is. It's the longest running sort of high take film that has ever been premiered. It just keeps going and going and going. And what that will mean is that when people are pitching, when people are talking, if it's a black story, instead of people going, oh, well, nobody's going to watch that, people are going to go see it.
They're going to stand up and pay attention.
Because if you have to remember, Black Panther's coming on the back of Get Out as well, with Jordan Peele and Daniel Kaluuya. And also we've got upcoming Wrinkle in Time? Yeah, Wrinkle in Time with Oprah and Ava DuVernay. See, so hey. It's our time and not before time.
I like that. Well, you heard it here first. Black Panther is going to take over Star Wars. Back to Jackie.
Okay, so here I am and standing with, like, probably the woman with the biggest grin in the room. I mean, she's got to own it. So I'm standing right now with Louise Ann Monroe. She is one of the co-writers and co-producers of one of the films that have been nominated for the British Urban Film Festival, Mamata. Hello, Louise.
Hello.
How are you feeling? I mean, I can see how you're feeling, but try and describe it for our listeners.
Just so happy to be nominated, to be entered into this festival in the Women in Film section on National Women's Day, because I got the chance to work with some incredible women, including Destiny Akaraga, our director, Cecilia Noble, who's the lead, my co-writer, and to all of us just, oh, and our, actually, we had an executive producer who was also a
Wow.
So this women on Women's Day in the Women in Films, a diverse festival, absolutely brilliant. It's really
great. And it's, you know, you are oozing happiness. Yeah. You are oozing happiness. So how important is it to you that they have this category for women in the British Urban Film Festival?
I think it's very, very important. Like, one of the things we our films is right, diverse films, and also as women, get more women in film. I mean, as Mamata is about a woman over a certain age, a black woman over a certain age, like, we want to tell stories that aren't told enough, and yeah, especially because we are lucky at the moment. I feel like at the moment people are rooting for women more and more and more. And for a first film to get into a festival on National Women's Day is just, yeah, it just makes me feel really happy that we're doing it, and a good cheer out for all the women out there. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So how long have you yourself been in film and working in this industry?
I've actually been an actress for 10 years, but we only set up a production company last year. So we wrote another short film because another production company asked us to write it for them, which we did. But we liked Mama Ta so much that we thought we wanted to make this as well. So basically we produced this one ourselves. So now we've got our own production company, which is It's a Funny Life film. And hopefully it's a company to go on and make more.
Well, so you're telling me this is actually your first film that the production company have made?
We actually made Mind Death Star #K first, because that was the one someone else asked us to write for them. But we wanted to make Mama Ta so much that we decided to make that as well. So this is actually our second film. We made two films last year.
And here you are at the British Urban Film Festival, and just found out that your film has been nominated for the actual festival itself that's going to happen in June. Oh my gosh, I'm not surprised you're so happy. It's like everything aligned for you. Yes, I had my hand up kind of waving around and she thought I was going to high five her. We kind of missed that one. I'm so sorry. So, because it's actually International Women's Day, and you say your co-writer is based in New York. Yes. So you can both be celebrating.
Yes. Brilliant. Thank you. I will. Well, I don't know if she'll be awake yet. They're 5 hours behind, so she probably will be waking up now. So this will be good news for her.
Well, exactly right. Anyway, even if she was fast asleep, this is the kind of news that you want to be woken up for, right? What do you think is coming next for women in the film industry?
Do you know what? I was watching something this morning about two children who got paid, asked to do a job. One of them, he's a bit off film. The boy got more sweet to him than the girl. And it made me so happy because the boy started going, it's not fair, and giving her more sweets. And so, yeah, what it was about is about equal pay. So I hope that women just get equal pay, equal opportunities. And I do hope that's coming. I hope it's coming for diversity. Like Black Panther will help that. And I hope it's coming for women. Yeah, I mean, it's happening in America, so UK, come on, let's do it.
Let's do this. Let's lead the way. Let's lead the charge on this. So you heard it right here on Colourful Radio. The call to action from Louise Ann Monroe. Come on, UK, let's do it. I love that. Okay, we're going to have some music right now. And Louise, thank you so much. Congratulations.
She needs to stop working.
And we're live. We're back here, British Urban Film Festival from the Curzon Theatre, right in the middle of London. I'm here with Jackie and the wonderful Claire.
Hello. Hi. Oh my God. I just say it, like, Colourful is family, and it's mad that I've not actually ever been interviewed on Colourful because I'm always behind the scenes with the sweat patches, doing all the PR. So this is like a first, and I'm so privileged. Thank you so much.
It's so nice because today, even though you're the Colourful family, we're celebrating you as a director, somebody who's put a film out, no shade, and you're part of the team here at British Urban Film Festival.
Yeah, I'm wearing like three hats today. I'm like Joe Claire PR. I am the co-director of Buff and also the writer, director and co-star of No Shade Film, and it's International Women's Day.
What? Talk about everything being beautifully aligned for you today, right?
Yeah. I mean, most things that happen at Buff are quite divine. You know, even when we thought about bringing the festival forward, and then we thought about who the honorary was going to be, and I was like, obviously, it's got to be Amma. And then I thought about International Women's Day. Like, we plan. Nothing is accidental at Buff. And it has to have that lovely alignment that kind of, you know, inspires people to think more about their planning and how they're executing their projects. And I think we just put out the No Shade trailer and poster 1 week ago today. Wow. And it was the snow day, and everyone was at home. They couldn't move. They couldn't go nowhere. So they were locked. What the hell is that poster? Is that a horror film? Is this woman mad? Like, what is it? It's a romantic drama. It's based on a collection of conversations and true stories from friends of mine. And it was, I was just compelled to tell a story, you know.
Wow.
Had a 3-hour conversation with my friend on a bus ride from Islington to Hackney. She was cussing off some guy that's a mutual friend, saying that he has just finished with his long-term girlfriend that is a lighty. And I hate that term, and this film challenges that term. I hate that fetishistic discussion about lighty, because in some cultures, I'm light. You're light. Everyone, listen, drop it out. That's the major part of the film. And then she was just like, you know what? You know, when it's me and him, it's all about, he's like, yeah, I've got some good D in conversation. I was like, excuse me? Good D, we know what that means in street world. I was like, babe, come on, like. But she was like, but when it comes to fairer skinned women, he will offer them the ring. He will get engaged. Wow. And do that whole thing, even though I've been his friend and been riding with him for so long. And I said, you know what? I used to get the same sort of thing before I met Emmanuel. You're pretty for a dark skinned girl. And I was like, that term is so derogatory to me. How could you say that to me? I've heard that since I was 14 years old wearing a school
That's
uniform.
That's ridiculous.
So when you grow up with that in your mind and you think to yourself, okay, I just about fit the mold here. Oh, I'm excluded there. It's enough being black.
Yeah,
then
exactly.
When we got to contend with these things in our own community, I'm just like, nah, someone needs to talk about it. I looked out there and I saw that the last person to really address it in a way, but it was, again, the white versus black, not really black on black, was Spike Lee.
Right.
With, Jungle Fever. Jungle Fever with Wesley Snipes. And that's 26 years ago, and I'm 32. So
right.
No one has addressed this topic in a feature-length film, and absolutely not from a black British point of view.
Right.
And it's my calling. Everything that I do has a calling.
That is brilliant.
All of my films will be about something to do with the community, or in a way where it can change, influence, educate.
Right.
I'm an educator.
Because you really, really want to take a hold of some of the key issues that we talk about amongst ourselves,
but
take
it
to a much bigger platform.
Exactly. So why not?
So we were talking earlier, and I love that you were saying how that you're kind of prophetic in the sense that things happen. I'd asked you, hadn't I, did you grow up believing that you one day would be founding and running the British Urban Film Festival or any kind of film festival as a young black girl growing up here in rare communities like ours, don't normally get those opportunities. Talk to us about that. How did this come about?
Sure. Wonderful question, because I actually tried to set up something like BAFF back when I was just finishing uni. No funding, no help, little community centre, 10 people came, you know, and you get disheartened because you feel like you're running the race alone. Mm. And that aloneness can, you know, equal defeat. Like, oh, sod it, no one wants it, no one cares, let me leave it. So I left the industry frustrated, because I remember graduating from drama school, I went to Brunel University, I went to Identity, Lambda, you name it, I trained. And I remember being cast 3 times in 1 year as a nurse. I had no lines. There's 3 different TV shows on Sky. I delivered the baby and I walked off.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I thought,
oh, gosh, not one. Wait.
Like, not even get your glass of water.
Ow.
Ow. Can I rub your back? Is the pillow okay? No words for me. I was the black nurse. Off you go. On you go. And that's it. And I said to myself, can I really eat beans on toast for the rest of my life? Like,
right.
I cannot pay bills on that, because when you don't talk on screen, you don't get paid.
You don't get nothing.
You get a little
get a donut.
Yes.
In the catering, like, thing.
Right. So I retrained as an allergy practitioner. I'm a vegan. I've always been a makeup artist. I've been a makeup artist since I was 16. So I channeled my energy into the art, in the makeup and the artistry of that. Created a brand called Prime Skincare. It's the world's first allergen-friendly vegan beauty company in the world. The Queen honored me last year for my services to dermatology. And the brand has been winning awards. We win an award every 3 or 4 months somewhere for some reason. Because we
love
help
that.
People.
That is brilliant.
But to pull it back and talk about the connection of Emmanuel and the festival is because a month before I met him, I'd finished, you know, well, 7 months before I met him, I'd ended a relationship, and I was doing this online dating rubbish. And
yes,
I went,
rubbish. Underline rubbish.
No chemistry, not
oh
for
my
me.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And then I had a dream. Yeah. It's clearly my fault. No chemistry for me. And then basically, a month before I met Emmanuel, or he came into my world because I was on radio being interviewed about Prime and he was listening in, I was dreaming that I was seeing my name in the credits of a film, but my surname was double-barreled. But because my maiden name is Aluka, short, very queer, easy. But his name is like Anyamo Sigwe. It's like, oh my God, you have to break it. When I send it to, you know, white press, I say it's Anne, the name Anne, and then the word yam, you know, like yam to eat, and then O, and then Sigwe. You know, like you really got to break. Anyway, so I saw this name, and I didn't see the exact name, but I saw the length of this surname. And then a month later, I did all this fasting. I was listening to my indie IRE. I was burning candles. I was saying, God, if you can't send me someone good, I'll just work and serve you and do nothing. And then on radio, being interviewed, and this guy's tweeting me in my native language. Ibo Kwenu, let's do buff skincare. I was like, buff skincare? Like, what?
That is amazing.
I just loved his tenacity that he was like, yeah, like, why not? He was a guy and didn't even care that it was skincare. He called me 20 minutes after we got off the air, after I got off the air for radio. And literally, I heard in his voice, yeah, this is my husband. I met him the next day. He invited me for dinner.
Love it.
To meet the buff board, who was very different back then. I think there's only a few people there now that were there then. And we spoke over dinner, love, marriage, all these different conversations. I was like, wow, these people are really nice. And then everybody left at 11 o'clock in the evening. Me and him didn't have nowhere to go, so we continued our meeting. And we've been together ever since that day.
That is fantastic.
27th of July 2014, so nearly 4 years ago. We've been married for 2 years at the end of the month.
That is brilliant, and I'm so sorry. We could do this all day. I see like around 10 books in you.
Yeah,
10
I know.
Books
I've
at
got
least.
To write books.
But you've got to write it. But right now we have to stop because we're coming to the end of the live show. We're going to be interviewing one more person. But right now, Claire, thank you so much.
Thank you
from
so
the British
much.
Urban Film Festival.
Yay.
Oh, we're supposed to be keep talking. Oh, okay. Well, it feels paparazzi. Like I was saying earlier, this is like a Black Panther moment for me.
All right, now we're having some photos taken, but I do see someone coming towards us. I think we are having the man of the hour himself. We've just been speaking to his wife. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We see 100 books in your wife. What an amazing... We see why you picked her.
Yes. 100 books, only 100.
Only 100.
Yeah, she's like that. She's non-stop.
Non-stop. So we're talking to Emmanuel himself. Oh, my gosh. Sir, we have to applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been mental this morning. Absolutely mental. We haven't slept.
Wow.
Literally, we had submissions coming in at 1 in the morning.
Just to try and make that last.
The Tiny Temple one. That was the one that came in at 1 in the morning.
You're joking.
The production company. Literally, the email was saying... Please
consider it.
But obviously, you had to pass the granola test.
Right.
Not because it's Tiny Temple, you're thinking, oh, we'll just get you in. So we watched it, middle of the night, so he passed that test.
Wow.
And then they had to get the granola right just to make sure, am I going to eat this? Didn't eat it, which means it passes the test.
Wow. That is so fantastic.
Yeah. So that's actually going to show before No Shade. So there's going to be a few kind of double headers.
Oh, brilliant.
So Tiny's film will show before Claire's film. So
oh, my gosh.
That's going to be a crazy night. Yeah.
So, first of all, I mean, I know Desiree feels the same. We are so proud of you as a black man who you have been walking your walk for such a long time. You've been doing this when we weren't talking about collaboration in our community, and yet you got people to collaborate with you. So talk to us. How did you manage to achieve this?
Well, as my good friend Marlon Palmer was saying in his speech, my journey started way before Buff. It started back in 1999.
Right.
When I went to the BFM Film Festival in central London. And at the time, it was run by Menelik Shabazz, who directed Burning an Illusion, and Charles Thompson, who went on to do Screen Nation.
Right.
So that's where I learnt my education, through those two. Marlon
Brilliant.
Knew them very well. So between the three of them, I was in there, young, hungry, buck.
Just ready to learn.
Yeah, ready to learn. First day in the office, the door was open. all these videos of films. It's like Christmas
Day.
Yeah,
it must have been.
There's black films like everywhere. And that was my first day at work, just watching all these films.
Wow.
And then Menelik showed me the ropes. And then in 2002, I had nothing to do in the summer holidays, so I applied to work at BFM.
Brilliant.
Year after, I then was tasked to run the 5th anniversary of the film festival, and I did a little surprise video for Menelik. And the rest, as they say, is history. 2004, I did a year with Screen Nation.
Yes.
2005, I went to the Prince's Trust Urban Music Festival, and then from there, Buff was born.
Was born.
Yes.
And, I mean, did you ever, because I asked your wife the same thing, and I think her vision was very much attached to her marriage to you, you know what I mean? It's like when, for the film festival, she tried one on her own, it didn't quite work, but when she met you, then it all kind of took off.
Sure.
Now, you seem to be, you were on this path anyway. How does it feel when you hear British Urban Film Festival and know that you are the CEO, you are the founder, you are the person who's brought this to the table? How does it make you feel?
It feels incredible because when I started out, it's with anything, anyone that has a vision, when you start out, the road is very lonely.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
up to you to kind of make it an exciting journey.
Yes.
And obviously, when you have GPS, kind of, I call GPS God. So when you have the noises, it kind of tells you, right, just stay on the path, don't get swayed, believe in your vision, and find the good in people, as in find the creativity from people. Watch films that excite you. Find out about stories. Find out about the stories behind the filmmakers, because that's a different kind of journey as well.
Yes.
So bring all that together in one platform with the festival, and you have what we have now after 13 years, where we celebrate them with our own awards ceremony, where we don't have to look outside for
films. And someone else to applaud us, and someone else to...
So all the nominees we announced today, all those films were shown at BAFTA the year before. So year in, year out, that's how you potentially qualify for an award. So with AMA, we showed the United Kingdom in 2016 before it went out on general release.
Oh, fantastic.
And AMA was previously married to Charlie Hanson. So if you know your history, Charlie Hanson was the guy behind Desmond's, The Real McCoy, chef, prolific comedy producer. He's got In the Long Run coming out on Sky One in a couple of weeks.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And he's a Buff patron, and over the years he's spread many films our way, so I'm very grateful to Charlie. And obviously through Charlie, we now have AMA, who's gratefully accepted our honorary award in June.
Which is fantastic. And is she going to be here herself?
She will be.
That is so exciting.
Right now she's in post-production on her fourth feature, Where Hands Touch, which hopefully will be coming out in the new year.
Right. Okay, so I'm so proud of the British Urban Film Festival, as I know Desiree is as well.
Thank you.
But for some reason, I don't think that that is the end of your future. And I really feel like, even though Buff will go on and become bigger and bigger and bigger, with you at the helm, of course, but what is actually in your future? Where are you going as an individual person? Because you stand away from Buff. Does that make sense? It's like, even though it's there and it's wonderful, but you, that's, Buff has its own brand. You have your own brand. So where are you going, Emmanuel?
Well, No Shade is kind of the beginning of that.
Really, to become a filmmaker yourself?
I've always wanted to make films. I was just saying this to Mohammed George just now. I've kind of gone the wrong way about it.
Oh, start with the festival.
Start with the festival, and now I can't get rid of it. So it's like, this is it. I mean, before I met Claire, I said to her that I'm married to Buff. And it's like, what? Really? And now I've married her, and she's seen what it's all about.
Right,
it's
like, and she gets it.
But the fact that year in, year out, the quality just seems to rise.
It does.
And the talent and the films that we're getting is just incredible.
Yes. I mean,
I thought we could have topped it last year at the BT Tower.
And yet...
Can it get better than that?
And yet it has, right? Yeah. But now that is a sign of a great leader. Now, I'm sorry, I know I'm kind of gushing. Kofi always tells me off for gushing over people I interview with.
No, carry on gushing.
But it's good. Then I'm proud that you don't get to meet enough young black men who are really, really making a difference and making an influence. You are giving platform for so many of our community to tell our own story. Now, that is a massive discussion that's going on across music, theatre, the arts, in every area. How can the black person tell their own story? How important is that to you?
It's absolutely essential, because everyone has a story to tell, And on top of that, it's about ownership. So when you allow the system, whatever you want to call it, the mainstream, to tell that story on your behalf, there's obviously going to be a disconnect. There's going to be a problem. There's going to be chaos.
Exactly.
And there's going to be our community separated from each other.
Yes.
And this is what I was saying to Jordan just now, who is representing Triforce today. Triforce have been going for 15 years.
Right.
Trying to put actors on. And actors, as you well know, is the most volatile profession going.
Yes.
You've got to hold down day jobs. You don't know when you're going to get the phone call. So always say to them, just keep working.
Yes.
Write something, film something, get people together, tell some stories.
Brilliant.
At least you're guaranteed to be cast in the film. And who knows, it might get into Bath. And more often than not, a lot of films that we've shown this year have been written, produced and directed by actors.
So, fantastic.
Very versatile people, actors. But going back to your original point about ownership, I think ownership is where the battleground is.
Yes.
As far as black people are concerned.
Absolutely.
They've got to own all levels of the industry, the infrastructure,
yeah,
the distribution, the festival, the production company, the accountant, the lawyer,
that's right.
The catering, the casting director, the makeup. That's another reason why I married Claire. So, you know,
right.
Plus. But yeah, all these things all help at the end of the day.
No,
and
it really
obviously
does.
We're reaping the fruits of our labour now with Bath.
You really are.
Where we have the privilege of showing our own film at our own festival.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Huge congratulations.
Thank you
on so many red carpets. I do see you at the Oscars. I don't think there is a sky limit for where you and Claire are going to be going in, Michael. Sincerely.
If Femi Ogins is listening, good morning, Femi. I mean, we were at the Black Panther black carpet a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, brilliant.
And Letitia Wright, who was there playing Shuri, and her agent, who's Femi. Femi came to the Bath Festival in 2011. He told me the story at the carpet.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was there. He came the year after.
No way.
To watch David Is Dying, which starred Lonyo Ngele.
Yes.
Who's in No Shade.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
The world just gets smaller and smaller all the time. But the reason why I mentioned Femi is because Femi is another person who deserves a huge amount of credit for
yes.
what he's done with IAG and Identity. He's been paving for 13, 14, 15 years. And you only need two or three.
Right, exactly.
That's all you need. And the floodgates are just opening to him. So mad yes. love for Femi.
Oh, brilliant. Lovely yeah. shout out there. So we've got to come to the end of this.
Really?
I know you could talk all day, couldn't you?
And I will, yeah.
So the British Urban Film Festival is coming up June. Tell us again the dates and the venue.
Right, so June the 4th to the 9th. June the 4th, we start with the script readings, then the Bath Awards, and then 5th is No Shade. And then the festival continues from the 6th to the 9th. We're at 6 venues across really? 6 days. We're at the BCA for the first time this year, the Black Cultural Archives.
Oh, my goodness.
We're at Regent Street Cinema, Oxford House, Curzon in Soho, and then the awards will be at the Genesis. So
wow.
you're going to be everywhere in June.
You're going to be everywhere in June, and we are going to be 100% behind you. Emmanuel, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you.
See you at the festival.
See you at the festival.
Oh my God, that's amazing. We're going to round up.
We're going to have photos whilst we're winding up.
Yeah.
So we're having photos right now with Emmanuel, and we are so excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited, like paparazzi.
So
I remember this moment.
Okay, and
picture.
I do love seeing black men take the lead, don't you,
Come
Desiree?
On now. Yeah, oh yeah, especially today in honor of International Women's Day.
And
nice to have
International Women's Day,
yes.
right?
Come on.
I mean, talking to Emmanuel and Claire, the founders of the British Urban Film Festival,
amazing.
I think Emmanuel has married like 10 women in one, right?
Literally.
Literally. She's a makeup artist. She's a filmmaker. She's, you know what I mean?
She's a wife.
She's a wife. There's nothing this woman cannot do. On International Women's Day, what an inspiring woman to talk to.
Amazing. How have you found it today?
Oh my gosh, too excited. Listen to me. If I don't get my invite, if I don't get my invitation, my personal invitation to be at the British Urban Film Festival, I'm going to be mad.
Come on, I better be there live on the red carpet.
I'm going to be live on the red carpet. We're putting it out there. I know we won't be because I know there's other presenters, but
oh, we've still got some more. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Okay. So this is so exciting. Apparently, we're going to have some more people coming to be interviewed right now.
They don't want us to get off this carpet.
We don't. They don't want us to get off the carpet, Desiree.
It looks like
we are
going to
be staying here. It looks like.
Okay, that's fine. Absolutely.
Oh
absolutely.
My gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, they're kind of beckoning each other over. And here he comes, here welcome. He comes. He's looking a little bit shy. And you're going to...
So welcome back.
Help us, because you've been introduced to us, but not properly. Because yeah. We're live on air right now on Colourful Radio.
Oh, you're live?
We're live.
And so are you. So, talk to us. What is your name, please? And where are you from?
My name is Josh Herdman. I'm from Hounslow.
Oh, fantastic. So now you are one of the sponsors?
No, I'm an actor in Two Graves.
Oh, you're the actors from Two Graves. Yes. Oh, one of the three of you are.
Oh my God.
So excited. Look at you. You look like you're ready for Hollywood. All three of you. Look at this. Yeah, yeah. No. Okay, so let's go along. Give us your names again.
I'm Josh Herdman.
I'm Danielle Harrell.
And Neil Ward.
So Josh, Danielle and Neil. Oh my God. So how are you feeling knowing that your film has been nominated, that thousands and upon thousands of people are going to be watching your work? How does that make you feel, Josh?
Oh, excited.
Okay, we like this one word at a time, okay? has anyone got more to say? Danielle, tell us, how are you feeling?
Well, I mean, he summed it up, but I mean, it's really nerve-wracking, and it's crazy, because we filmed it so long ago now, we're kind of like, people are going to see it, so
God. Yeah, because that's true, as actors, sometimes you can make something, and then you've moved on in life. You've done like 10 films in between.
Like, oh, remember this and this? And we're like, people are actually going to watch it now, so yes. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting as well.
So June is going to be big. Have you already thought about who you're going to be wearing on the red carpet, Danielle?
Oh, I have. I've had some things. Maybe probably Lipsy. I always go for good Lipsy. So.
Oh, really? Strong. Yes. With the blonde and the beautiful eyes. Yes. You're absolutely right. So, Neil, tell us, how are you feeling being an actor here in London, knowing that you're going to be walking the red carpet, knowing that your work is going to be appreciated? How are you actually feeling?
I'm absolutely crapping my pants, to be honest. But, you know, this is my first sort of feature film for sort of anything in Britain and anything like that.
Wow.
So it's a big deal for me. So these guys are veterans at walking down red carpets and events. But for me, yeah, it's a big deal, and it's a special production to be involved in. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, how proud are you feeling?
Very proud. Not as proud as my mum, but very proud.
Is she going to be your date on the red
She's
carpet?
She's my plus one, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Oh, I love mums. Oh, mums on the red carpet. Yeah. Any guy who brings their mum on the red carpet, all girls fall in love with you. And then, of course, they want to marry you, and then they say, you're not bringing your mum next year.
Well, they won't want to marry me if they see my mum, so, like, when they meet my mum, that's the other thing. So, yeah. Sorry, mum, I love you. Like,
You scare them off, mum, you scare them off. Okay, so what has been some of the projects, Josh, that you've been working on? More than one word.
I was filming Marcella, season two of Marcella, which is being shown now at the minute, every Monday at 9:00.
Oh, fantastic. And how long have you been acting?
Since I was like 7.
Oh, wow. So you are a veteran.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, like, you're 17 now? Don't tell your age, because I know in the industry they don't want you to tell your age so that you can be 17 if you need to be 17.
I wish I could play 17 still.
You could totally still play 17.
You're too kind.
Okay, I'll stop being kind then. So, Danielle, what has been your path so far to get to this stage? I mean, when did you know that you wanted to act, and how did you get here?
I'd always wanted to act from really young, but it's one of them jobs that everyone tells you, have a plan B.
You're
just like, if I have a plan B, I'm not going to get plan A. So just carrying on, really, and done some amazing stuff, so I'm just really lucky.
And you've really just stuck to it.
Yeah, and I started when I was 17, I'm 26 soon, so it's been a while now, it's flown by, so yeah.
That is so brilliant. And here on International Women's Day, how do you feel about so many women being honoured as producers, I was speaking to one of your producers earlier, and she was saying how many of the team are actually women, and it's so exciting. How important, Danielle, is that to you as a young woman coming up?
It's about time. It right? is about time. About like, why time. Has that happened sooner? I don't know. But the women are coming in this year, and apparently, like, everybody, like producers and high up people, that you, it was always men. You see, women faces, and as a woman actress, it's lovely to work with women to have that. You know, women. Come on, women,
right?
Women.
Yeah, women,
it's just,
I get it.
I can't even explain. It's just women. So it's really great, and it's an honour. So it's wicked.
That is so amazing. Neil, we're going to have the last word with you. What are you hoping for the British Urban Film Festival with Two Graves? What are you hoping to see happen?
It's just everyone to see the hard work that's gone into sort of three and a half, four-week shoot, wasn't it? Something like that.
Wow.
A three-week shoot. So all the effort that's gone into that, all the effort from the actors, the production, the crew, the cast, and then all the work that's gone in after that. Sort of, Chantal has been working tirelessly to bring this film to the cinema and to people to see it. And again, touching on the women thing, it's a long time coming, and it should have been coming a long time ago. And
absolutely,
you will hopefully see in this film, and you could be able to tell that it is strongly female led, and it. The females do bring a lot of the drama in the film and a lot of the talent. So
fantastic!
Yeah, working with some of the great people that are on this film was I walked in as a nobody, and it's like such a privilege. So
wow!
Hopefully, people like it, love it, buy it.
There
buy
you
it
go.
Again,
and buy it again.
Someone
and
else. Buy it for someone else
yes,
again.
Exactly.
Buy it again. Yeah, watch it on Netflix when if it comes on now.
Exactly.
Like it.
Just watch it and enjoy it. Excellent. Neil, Danielle, Josh, thank you so much. We are here at the British Urban Film Festival. We are talking about the nominees.
Colourful.
British Urban Film Festival.
On Colourful Radio.